Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington on Monday, June 6th, 2022. And this is Live Talk. I am Kip Stube. Tonight on Live Talk, we are talking about this economic situation in Zimbabwe. Bakeries have increased prices of bread to up to 950 Zimbabwe dollars. They claim that the increases were necessitated by steep prices of wheat imports and high fuel prices. The price increases are likely to hit hard consumers as the majority of Zimbabweans are living far below the poverty line. They receive salaries in the devalued Zimbabwe dollar, while school and hospital fees are pegged on the United States dollar. One U.S. dollar is currently trading at more than 480 Zimbabwe dollars on the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe's auction market and almost $500 on the black market. According to the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions, the majority of workers receive wages and salaries in Zimbabwe dollars. Domestic workers earn almost 12,000 Zimbabwe dollars a month. Okay, so we're going to talk about the corner, lape in the only SGNA, the Lamtake, who live talks Kuluma, and Konoki, who are going to talk about Zimbabwe. Lapas Kuluma, the Nintengo, the Sinqua, the Wunok GNA. You must can elegate the Sinqua, the Kupre, the Wunok Magasai. So there was long ukuthi ukhona silonga ngokhupha abantu kwele Zimbabwe. So ke lamhla ngiyedwa kwalapha kuhlelo, we hope that we are going to be joined by some guests for us to discuss some of these issues. So I'm happy that I'm joined right now by Professor Ricky Mkonza. He is in South Africa. He works as a lecturer in South Africa. Professor Mkonza, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Gibbs. Good evening to your viewers.
Thank you very much. So before we discuss other issues related to perhaps the death of Alex Makaisa and Isaac Mpofu, who was a prominent writer, let's talk about the cost of living in Zimbabwe. I know that there are so many people that you actually support while you are based in South Africa. So tell us about your kind of analysis, you know, on the situation in Zimbabwe right now, in terms of, you know, basic commodities, in terms of the provision of public services.
Thank you very much, Gibbs. I think in the past few months, the rise in the cost of living in Zimbabwe has been, you know, so, things have been so going haywire to such an extent that, you know, it's making it difficult for people to live decent lives. It's really, only God knows where this is going to end, because, you know, when you think you have reached the rock bottom, you find that you know, it gets even worse, and it's getting worse for people. You know, it's the situation. What's bad about it is that whether you're employed or not employed, it doesn't make much of a difference. People are just it's just bad for everyone. In fact, it's worse when you're working for government, because people see you going to work every day, but you know, your life, the quality of your life, does not really inspire confidence on those that are not working, on those that are growing up. So it's really a bad situation. Prices are going up, and the income levels are not rising. We don't know where it is going to end, but things are bad.
What is the problem?
I think it's the Zimbabwean problem is quite a broad one. In my opinion, it starts from the politics. The politics is not right, in the sense that, you know, there is no confidence in the political system. Now, when you have such a situation, you then have an economy that comes, you know, an economic system that is not stable. It may be stable for some, you know, few months, for some few weeks, but then, you know, because people don't have confidence, they don't have trust in the systems. You have, you know, things just going haywire. It appears the center is not holding. The center is not holding. We have a government, but the government is not providing that conducive environment that allows for stability, whether in business or whether for social life. So that's what I think would be can be seen as the problem in Zimbabwe.
Yes, now I'm joined by Dr. Sibama Vaza of ZANU-PF. So hold on there, Dr. Professor Mkonza. Dr. Mavaza, welcome to the program, sir.
Thank you, James, and welcome, Zimbabwe.
Thank you so much. So we are continuing with this discussion on the cost of living in Zimbabwe and what really is going wrong or right in the country. So give us your take on exactly what's going on.
As we have been saying all along, yes, the cost of living has gone very high, which is quite a challenge. But if we look at it this way, the effects in Zimbabwe per se is only on our Zimbabwean bond or Zimbabwean currency. That's the one which is actually being eroded by inflation. And but otherwise, the price of things is not going anywhere, because if you buy in the US, in US dollars, it remains the same price. It goes high in Zim dollars. But yes, it affects the people who are paid in Zim dollars. But while we look at it, it's not only Zimbabwe which is going through this turbulence. The economic turbulence are all over the world. People are struggling. Some countries are really struggling. But that's not an excuse. We, as I've said, Zimbabwe government is trying its best to find ways of cushioning its people because of these things. We are people who have suffered firstly from the COVID pandemic, and then we come into this Russia-Ukraine war, which has actually shook the world economically. And these things put together, and our weak economy, it's difficult for us to survive or to remain unscathed. But yes, we have no excuse to give, and I can say to you today, the government is doing the best it can to make sure nobody dies of hunger. Everybody will be catered for. We are making arrangements for food to be ready, and parents to be assisted in paying fees, school fees, and exam fees. So nobody is going to be disadvantaged as long as our government promises what they've promised. They are planning together things to make sure the country will survive these difficult moments.
But when Maluti government, Yamnanga Koyatas, Maluti Adas, I go on a bazaar with you. You know, I have to.
Vanhu vanogona kutaura zvavanoda nekuti havanzwisise kutonga. Kana uri panyanga, uriwo uri kutonga, unonzwisisa dambudziko because upenyu hwevanhu huri mumaoko mako. Munhu wese haungamufadze nguva imwe chete. Hongu variko ari kurwadziwa, variko vanofunga kuti vangaite zviri nani. Asi chokwadi hakuna chiri nani chinopfuura chiri kutoramba vamunangagwa. Hurumende yamunangagwa yaita zvakanaka zvakawandisa. Nyaya cost of living iyi haisi nyaya yekuedza kutonga kwehurumende, inyaya yaroapasi rese. Kwese kwatiri kuna vanhu vari kutambura, petro yakwira, chikafu chakwira, mafuta mivhenje arikutoshayika mustoro, vamwe ari kuwanikwa zviri kudhura, mapurize angokwira. Wakaenda ne100 pounds haichazadza troli, kudhara we100 pounds ozadza troli. Saka dambudziko tinaro in each and every country. Recession, economic depression, iriko, and haisi blame munhu wani. Inyika yaro wane coronavirus, nomba yaro wane monkey virus, nomba yaro wane the Ukraine, yekuti chikafu nepetro zvaibva kuRussia achauya, gas rakukwira maprices, petro yakukwira maprices. Saka hatingangoti hurumende yatadza kutonga, nekuda kweevents regore rimwe chete. Saka tikabatana senyika, we can go through our difficulties and go through them, and we can win.
Yes, Professor Mkonza, I think you are hearing what Dr. Mabaza is saying. But Maruti, the government, that's how they put it. The government, Kajaza, from Mkonza.
Not in the Mkoma Duve, Ongunda Zwatawa, Nakiremba, Wataura. I see in the Mkot Urmende, inopinda pachigaro, continuan kwari pachigaro. Kuti ingopa zvichemo nekuda kwekutadza kwairi kuita kutonga handifungi kuti hurumende inokodzera kuramba ichitsigirwa nevanhu nekuti vanhu kana vachiisa hurumende pachigaro vari kuisa hurumende kuti ivabatsire kuti upenyu hwavo huite zviri nani asi tikatarisa hurumende yava Munangagwa hongu pane hatingati mafactors abatwa naChiremba ari kuafecta nyika dzese asi mafactors aya akaita sehonde Ukraine COVID-19 mafactors aya ari kuuya achiwana hurumende nezveupfumi zviri pakanyangara kare nekuda kwenyaya dzekutadza kutonga saka tikanzvenga ipapo hatifi takawana mhinduro hatifi takawana masolutions kumatambudziko atinawo so tinoda kutanga tagadzirisa nyaya dziri kukonzeresa kuti zvinhu zvimuname munyika yeZimbabwe nyaya dzecorruption nyaya dzekusaremekedza mutemo nevamwe vanhu pane nyaya dzakawanda dzinogona kugadziriswa nehurumende yakanaka tozoenda kune zvimwe zvekuti tinoti wa hurumende yedu hapana chaigona kuita saka isusu chatoda kuona ndechekuti hurumende yaita here yagadzirisa here zvino zvainofanira kunge ichigadzirisa ngatitarise muenzaniso wenyaya yatiri kunzwa kusito Farai yetenda inongouya yoda kutora mari kusito Farai mari yakawanda zvekuti nesu tese tinongoshamisika kuti chinombova chiko ichi zvinhu zvaunongoona wega kuti nyangwe tikati pane zvimwe zviri kukonzera asi tine zveduwo zvatiri kukonzeresa isusu semaZimbabweans.
So now you know what we're saying here is there's a very big problem. Can we pinpoint exactly where the problem is, you know, Professor Mkosi?
Yes, the problem starts with our governance system, as I have mentioned earlier on. You set the political systems right, you get your governance right, you ensure that you know there is rule of law, you ensure that you create an environment that allows for businesses to be run in a professional manner. You ensure that you have an environment that allows for stability, and that will spread to the economic sector and social sector of the country. So the problem that I think is in Zimbabwe, in all honest, starts from the governance side of things. If you look at it, you start with the disputed elections. After disputed elections, you find the use of violence in dealing with political challenges. You find also failure to respect institutions. You find cases of corruption. So these are all governance-related issues. And I think until we are honest enough as Zimbabweans to say to ourselves there are things that we are not doing right, and there are things that we can that are within our control, that we can do right. Before we begin to pinpoint certain things that are certain factors that are external, we will not find solutions to our challenges.
There you are, Dr. Mabaza. I think he has laid out exactly what he thinks is the problem in Zimbabwe. And as far as you're concerned, let's take one example, Dr. Mambas. Bread today is, 959 Zimbabwe dollars. 959 Zimbabwe dollars. Doesn't that shock you?
That is black market rate.
No, in fact, Proton is not black market. It's something that is being sold openly in Zimbabwe.
It's actually shocking because those who control the rates, if you notice, the governments cannot control the rates. When the rates come up like that, there is a factor which is pushing the rate down or the rate up, which we'll look at later in this program. But what I was saying, I wanted to respond to the good professor here. The government is not giving an excuse. The government is telling you what it is. If we tell you that there is a recession in the whole world, that's not an excuse. If we tell you that everywhere, every country is suffering the same problem we are having now, that's not an excuse. Tell you that the government is now busy sorting out ways of feeding its people, cushioning its workers, and making sure nobody suffers, nobody dies of hunger in Zimbabwe until everything is sorted. That is not an excuse. And that is not a failure. That is a sign of a caring government which goes out there to help and cushion its people. Yes, people are horrified with the situation and economic situation. We do appreciate that. We understand that. We are horrified too. But it's not a situation where we are simply dying of the problem which we have. It's a situation where we have a government which is close to us and which is helping us and which is saying, let us do what we can do and make sure that people can survive, schools can run, the country continue to run. You'd notice, Gibbs and Prof here, my colleague, the Prof, that in America there was a time when the economy stopped working. The government was about to shut down. And during the time of President Obama, it was not a sign of failure. The factors which caused that. And things go on like that. And yes, at the moment we are suffering as a country, but economically, yes, things are getting down, but the government has not closed, folded their hands. They are working on it, and this is what we can assure every Zimbabwean that, listen, keep trusting in ED, believe in ED, and if you believe in him, as he is doing now, you will see things are sorted. We are going back to ourselves, where we will have glory, where we will have honey, where we will have
milk. But just be honest here, a person who is in Makokova, a person who is in Bare, a person who is in Totito, a person who is in Makwekwe there, you know, they don't believe in what you're saying, some of these things.
Yeah,
can you openly tell them why they should believe in the current government?
They should believe this government because we are sorting out things for them. Things would have been worse without the government intervention. And we are saying the government has intervened. Now the government is cushioning. Those people in Magwegwe, Chitungwe, Zambare, or wherever you think they are, these are the ones which the cushion is going to cushion more than elsewhere. The government is leaving those people at heart. So whatever the government is doing now is in the best interest of the people. The government is not only folding and letting the economic situation go like wildfire. The government is out there acting so that at least the people will benefit, the people will be taken off their problems at the moment. Financial problems will be a thing of the past. So I'm saying to you, the government has not sat down, has not given excuses, it has not failed. It is working on it, and we will see soon, and very soon, things will be back to normal.
Professor Mkoz.
Yeah, I think we can debate until cows come home. But what we can, you see, if you want to see that the government is failing to do what people expect it to do, mm-hmm. you may need to just look at the promises that government made in the last, the ruling party made in the last elections, because the ruling party is the one that then formed the government after the elections. What has improved? You can't really count anything that has improved in Zimbabwe. And if that is not failure, then I don't know what it is. And you see, the challenge that we have, Mr. Dewey and Doc, is that I think we keep trying to apply lipstick to a frog time and time again. We don't want to face reality and really say where is the problem and how can the problem be really solved. So we keep saying, no, the government is trying, the government is, you know, it could have been worse. So that we do not really face and hold the government of the day accountable. To say, no, there are things that they are not doing well. The life is getting tough for, you know, people across the board. Nothing is really, really moving. And I think government must own up and begin to say, probably we have failed. And, be honest to the situation that we have.
But, at the end of the day, people will say, okay, Professor Mkonza is criticizing the government, but what is his solution to the present crisis? What can Zimbabweans do on their own, you know, to mitigate against this crisis?
I've already alluded to some of the things that need to be done. We need to govern each other properly. We need to ensure that, you know, we manage our resources properly. I mean, if we are to account for all the mineral resources that are in the country and ensure that they go through the formal channels, if we are to stop corruption, that is, hemorrhaging the economy, if we are, there are things that can be done before we begin to blame outsiders. So those are the things that we need to start doing before we can. If we, abide by the rule of law, ensure that nobody is above the law, those that would have gone against the law they face the consequence management. All those things, you don't find them in the Zimbabwean governance system. And I think that's where, Mr. Dube, that's where we need to start. Because when you have a weak governance system, then it becomes difficult for you to have an economy that functions in a way that benefits people across the board.
Yes, hold on there. We are joined now by Mr. Mswangela Ndlovu. He's the spokesperson of the Zimbabwe African People's Union, ZAPU. Welcome to the program, Ndlovu.
Angibonge, Baba Dube, and thank you very much, as I appreciate to be in the presence of Professor Musonza and my dear comrade,
Mr. Mavaza.
Dr. Mavaza. We engaged on this topic a few days ago, and there is some form of consensus that our country is bedeviled by numerous challenges manifesting itself in untold suffering for our people. We should try and narrow our differences of opinion with regards to what is the causatives of this suffering for our people. My brother, comrade Dr. Mavaza, can I think we agree that there are problems, but he would want us to believe that these problems are global, these problems are related to recession and stuff like that. I think Zimbabweans must understand where he is coming from, and it's unfortunate that as Zimbabweans, as patriotic as we are, including Dr. Mavaza himself, we are training our minds to gloss over failure and try and use propaganda to define our suffering and decorate it through long and winding statements. The truth of the matter here is that we have a governance problem in our country. And this governance problem did not start now. It started a long time ago. And what has made it worse is where, Professor Msonza has said, where we don't own up as a people and say, here we are, we have a problem. And we look at the problem as mature people, as patriotic people, to try and find a solution, if not for ourselves, at least for future generations. And say we're leaving a legacy for our children and their children of a better country that they can rely on. What is happening with our colleagues in the governing space is that they have trained their minds, trained their resources to defend and gloss over these glaring failures. Before 2017, when the coup was effected on the Mugabe regime, the people, the proponents of the coup, were very clear. And most of them are in government today. They were very clear. They have said if a government has been in power for 20, 30 years and still blames failures on sanctions, it means that the government is failing. If you are in government, you go to elections, you contest in elections and promise to deliver for your people. You do not immediately after winning those elections start finding scapegoats. And that is what the ZANU-PF is doing right now. They are finding scapegoats and they've perfected the art of finding scapegoats. Chris Mutswangwa is on record. Matema Danda was on record before the coup, and they said the failures of Mugabe's regime were based on incompetence and the corruption. They take over power, and they said, by the way, sanctions are just an excuse. And now they take over power, they go back to that same old song, that sanctions, this sanctions, that. But we know of the leakages of our minerals that are leaking outside the country on a month-to-month basis. We know of cases of irregular expenditure by government departments. We know of recently the Mona deal, where a brazen case of corruption is being initiated and defended by the government. We believe, without fear, favor or doubt, that Zimbabwe has enough resources, both natural, human, and otherwise, to develop our own country and to make it the jewel of Africa.
Yes, we understand that it could sound very philosophical and so forth, but at the moment we know that Umesi's Ndlovu ose kwanda langa pinga pi balenkinga residential, so he got cut off there. So I wanted to pose a question on what's the solution going forward. Let's bring Dr. Mabaza, and then we'll wrap up in 3 minutes this section. Then we'll go to another section in which we talk about the late Makaisa and the late Isaac Mpofu. So now, your quick reaction, Dr. Mabaza, to what these two gentlemen are saying.
Thank you so much. Welcome, Comrade Love. You see, a recession is a period of a temporary economic decline. This is during which the trade and industrial activities are reduced. So it is not a permanent thing. It's temporary. Zimbabwe is going through a recession. This recession, I have said, its effects are worldwide. So it's not the incompetence of the government. Neither is it the corruption per se. Yes, there is corruption. I agree. And corruption has been dealt with. That's why the president appointed the anti-corruption commission in Zimbabwe, the ZAC. And there's again the special anti-corruption unit, the SACU, which is headed by Thabang Imphofu. So, yes, corruption is being dealt with. But for now, the problem we are facing now is just temporary. It's not going to be long. My question is Comrade Love there. Prof, I'll spare you this question. I'll give it to Comrade Love. Why is it that we always go through a recession when we are towards elections? Don't you smell a rat? Don't you see that there are some forces which make our life difficult towards elections because there is a sabotage against the ruling party? There is a regime change agenda here which wants to make the government look evil. Each time there are elections, a year...
Let's get his response. Yes. Just get his response. Very immediate. Make it short, Baba Ntovu. What is your reaction to what is asking?
Well, I do not think that Zimbabwe is necessarily going through a recession. If any, if it is going through a recession, it could be issues to do with the conflicts in Ukraine and in Russia, which is affecting oil prices throughout the world. But what we are witnessing in our country is worse.
No, I think he got cut off there. So now I think you come back, then we continue that kind of discussion. Let's turn to the late Professor Makaisa, or Dr. Makaisa. So tell us a bit about him, because somebody was telling me about what he did one day, you know, when you were at school, you know, when he went to the podium and recited the Bible from his head, you know, on a certain verse that, or certain verses that were of the day. So tell us just a bit about Makaisa that you know.
Thank you very much, Mr. Gibbs. First of all, allow me to express my deepest condolences to the Makaisa family and to friends and relatives. We have lost this wonderful human being, Dr. Alex Makaisa. Dr. Alex Makaisa was my senior at St. Francis of Assisi High School in Chivu back then in the early 90s. You know, I got to St. Francis of Assisi, I think around 93, and at that time he was already doing his advanced level. He was just a brother, a big brother like figure at that mission school for us, the young ones. Now, referring to the incident that you mentioned where he recited Bible verses without, you know, opening the Bible itself, indeed, it happened. The first of Assisi, for the benefit of viewers who do not know it, is a Roman Catholic mission school in Chivu, in the Chivu area. So we had those afternoon mass services one would be expected to read the Bible verses in line with what the father would have asked for. Now, Dr. Makaisa, at that time, very young, with so much energy, took to the podium and recited the required Bible verses without opening the Bible. That was an early sign that this guy was quite intelligent. When he left Assisi, going to university, we kept hearing stories about how he was performing well at the University of Zimbabwe. And he served as a source of inspiration for us, the young ones, who had remained at Assisi. Because we then say, if Mkoma Alex can go and perform well at the University of Zimbabwe, then we can also do it. So he became a source of inspiration for us. I'll end there for now, so that I give others an opportunity.
Yes.
But there are more stories to be told about this great man that we have lost.
Yes, let's turn to Ubaba Ndlovu. Ubaba Ndlovu, there is a great person that also passed away in Bulawayo, and that is a novelist, Isaac Mpofu. Tell us a bit about him. You know, and, you know, I know maybe you read some of his set books, you know. Baba Ndlovu?
Yeah, look.
I think he got cut off there. So you come back and then we continue to discuss these issues. Dr. Mabaza, I know you've been interacting with Makaisa a lot.
Yeah, let me start by passing my condolences as well to the Makaisa family. What I'll tell you, Gibbs, is the death of Makaisa is a loss to the whole country and to the legal fraternity. Me and Makaisa, we never saw eye to eye. We debated on several platforms. We argued on policy and everything. We had some agreements when we spoke about the MDC then and the CCC now. And we had some disagreements on ZANU-PF and how the country is being run. But the reality of the matter is people like Makaisa are the people who make democracy work. They keep you on the toes. If I am told that Makaisa is writing his article on Saturday, he was writing whatever the big Saturday read.
Yes.
If he would call me on Thursday to say, Mavaza, I'm finishing my article, I would have to write an article which is more researched because Makaisa will do his research properly. You can never criticize this article if you don't research. So Makaisa would put everybody on his toes. He was such a good person. I'm sure he did work very well with Tsvangirai. And the sad thing is when Chamisa took over power from the MDC, he discarded Makaisa for some time. You only started talking to him I think about a few weeks ago or so. But it was very bad because CCC lost a good advice from a good man. Because that man had proper advice and progressive ideas. And he was a good lawyer. I've attended his classes when we did a classroom exchange. I lectured law as well. And it was very interesting that sitting in this class, the way you teach without a book, you can quote the cases. He will tell you the case and summarize it without reading the book. The guy is his own blessing. Unfortunately, he has been struggling from the heart ailment for a long time. He had been in and out of hospital, and you'd see from his tweets, he would tell you that, yeah, I've been playing with needles on my hand. It's a very sad life. He has rested. What we can simply say as people, despite our disagreement, we have lost a pillar.
Thank you. Yes.
A politician, and we have lost a man.
Thank you very much. Isaac Mpofu, who said Kotemi. Oh, we have Katia Lapa, sing us to Ubabu Msongelo Hambazan. Kotogi, Eskulma Akolapa, Uti Ubabu Isaac Mpofu, Umlovo Mapu, Kumangitungualo, Esgeneo, E Gase Kolapogi, Ukayanazan, we are Vewa, E Molestatu, E Bakalaban to Sibili. Ngoku ubaba wakhe singathi ke umuntu omdala njalo kade ebula eqiniswe ngokunye ongani bekumhlupha kakhulu so ke sikethemba lokuthi ulele ngokuthula umuntu omdala so sibone ke ukuthi ubaba umsongela sekuyile yini yebona zamse sondile konapa ukuthi sikhokela isizwe ukuthi angatheni ke ngokubhubha kukababa ke u Isaac Mpofu yakhubeka konapa ungakathe baba
Yeah, bengithi mina ubaba uMpofu is a cultural hero ngoba usebenze kakhulu eselusa igcina imbali lesiko lesintwini ngokubhala ama ingwalo zakhe ezithe ukuthuthukisa uZulu lomthwakazi omuhle uliqhawe lamaqhawe njalo simfisela ukuthi alale ngokuthula. Kodwa ke akusiyedwa yena ubaba uIsaac Mpofu ohambileyo. Thina njengozaphu silahlekelwe ngubaba uchairman retired Colonel Mark Nzula Mbayiwa okhotheme laye ngendlela efanayo leka
Yes,
telefona lika baba u Makaisa. sitinjalo ubaba umbayo wala egalale ngokuthula ubaba umbayo uliqhawele lizwe owalwela ilizwe ekuhlangothi lwezipra. I've also had an encounter with Dr. Alex Makaisa, not personally, but through his big father, Gay Reed. I have not missed an article, and I have always made sure that when he engages publicly, I try as much as possible to follow him. Zimbabwe just lost an intellectual giant. Zimbabwe lost a very patriotic a son of the soil. Zimbabwe is poorer without someone like Alex Makaisa. It is very sad that we are losing such young, talented Zimbabweans. But as we lose them, we need to reflect on the fact that most of them are dying in far away countries, having left their own motherland because of the same problems that we are dealing with. As much as we decry the fact that they are outside the country, like Professor Musonza is, we must also reflect on the simple fact that they are developing people and countries outside our own country, leaving our country poorer again in terms of developing our human resource capital. So as we lose the best brains, Professor Musonza, Dr. Makaisa, and even Dr. Mabaza himself, we lose these brains, but we don't only lose them. We also are poor because our children are not benefiting from it in Zimbabwe. We need to reflect in these things and make sure that as we discuss the future of our country, we correct these things.
Yeah. Nabanye abantu bolapha abanjengo Magayisa lobabumbayo kwalapho njengamafutshane ukuthi chathi.
Ya, ngithi mina iZimbabwe ingabe ilahlekelwe kakhulu ngoba thina uchairman wethu kupresidency yethu ezaphu besifisa sibili ukuthi kube nomuntu oyizipra and ubabumbayiwa obe lilunga lezipra silahlekelwe kakhulu la ngobabumpofu kodwa laye uMagayisa kumele sinanzelele ukuthi uMagayisa ube ingcwethi yokucubungela zepolitiki, yokucubungela zomthetho, ngumuntu osebenze kakhulu ku-GNU. I-GNU eyaziwayo ukuthi ibumbile ilizwe for a brief period. And layo bephetheke lapho ku-ofisi ka-Prime Minister uMorgan Tsvangirai. Ukuthi alahleke khathesi yinto edabuka inhliziyo kakhulu. Kodwa bengithi mina nxa kukuthi sikhangele impilo yamadoda lawa, asikhangeleni abantwana bakuZimbabwe ade kumele bebe esekhaya bethuthukise ilizwe labo, kodwa sebesabalele ngemhlaba yonke bezama ukuphila. Nangu uDr. Musonza laye akekho ekhaya, uMagayisa akekho ekhaya, uMabaza akekho ekhaya, everyone lami nginje angikho ekhaya, kusele bani-ke pho ekhaya? Kusele lawa amasela, izikiwi, ababulali, abathi xa singababuza ukuthi asenzeni silungise ilizwe. Bayala babomisa amakhanda, bathi thina asikho patriotic. Bona yibo abalolwazi, ulwazi lwabo kodwa asilubuntu lusiphathisa ngani.
Ye, what say uProfessor Mkonza, Professor Mkonza quiet, sir. I think you've heard what the others are saying.
Oh, yes, and I want to concur with my brother, Obabandlo, in what he's saying, that when you lose such brilliant minds being, you know, abroad, not by their own choice, I know for a fact that Dr. Magaisa really wanted to come back to his home country. But we know that the prevailing circumstances do not allow minds like his to survive and to thrive without being harmed, without being in danger. So what he says is critically important beyond the death of Dr. Magaisa, in the sense that He's saying, let us create a conducive environment that will accommodate some of these best minds, whether in business, in academia, or in any other area that could, take Zimbabwe forward. Because it's not a blessing to have some of your brilliant minds being outside of government to start with, and worse still, outside of the country. Magaisa's contributions cannot be, underestimated. His contribution to the constitutional making process is something that must never be forgotten, because that's the supreme law that we have in the country. His contribution in the public spaces, through his writings and through interviews, his big Saturday read, as Dr. Mavaza has alluded to, are some of the contributions that we must look at and say, indeed, Zimbabwe is poorer without Dr. Magaisa.
How best can that be remembered? People like the late novelist Kaiser Mpofu, Dr. Magaisa, and others. These are very important people, right?
Indeed, they are important people. There are many ways in which they can be remembered. One of the ways that we remember people from big ideas like Magaisa, like Isaac Mpofu, we could have memorial lectures named after them, where people try to first of all understand what were they writing about, what were their views about life. Here in South Africa, where I am, there is a memorial lecture named after a certain
quiet
writer called O.K. Matsipe, who died a long time ago, I think in the 70s. But there is a lecture where people come together every year. It's facilitated by UNISA. People come together every year to have that lecture, where they interrogate his ideas and see what could we have said in relation to the problem that South Africa is facing today. I'm challenging universities in Zimbabwe and research institutes to see what they can do for these gallant sons of the soil, Mr. Isaac Mpofu and Dr. Alex Magaisa, and see how best can we have lectures that are done annually, just to make sure that their ideas don't die with their mortal bodies.
Yes, let's hear what Dr. Mabaza can say about, keeping the spirits of these people alive, how best this can be done. Dr. Mabaza, go ahead, sir.
Each person has his own speciality. I think in their speciality, there should be always some remembrance. We should have a monument, not necessarily a physical monument, but we should have a hall of fame where those names are plugged, where those names are remembered, where we are told what they are doing. Like in Kenya, they honor Ngugi wa Thiong'o even now. He's 84. They still talk about him. He has no political affiliation, but he had cultural affiliation, which made him proud, people proud of him in Kenya. Dr. Magaisa, as I said, his department of law where he was lecturing, they had failed the gap already. They feel his absence already. And I'm thinking, yes, if he was teaching at the usage, I'm sure the university would have probably adopt him and make name one building after his name. I think probably in these issues, if we put our politics aside, we would have to honor him in one way or the other, because he's indeed an honorable person, regardless that we'd never agreed on our political thinking. But as Zimbabweans and on democratic ground, he was a good man. And I still believe that his death does not mean anything. It simply means he has rested, but his life, his legacy remains physical. We still have him in actual fact. But probably all we can do is, God knows why good people die early. We cannot dispute with God, but we can simply say, you will comfort the family in your assistance. But yes, Magaisa, he was a good lawyer, and he was a good teacher, and a good writer. So we really have lost as a country. We have lost. You see, one more thing before you cut me off.
Yes.
In our political differences, you can never become a good politician if you are alone. You need the opposition around you. You need the people who kick, who push you, who tell you where you are wrong, who criticize you. Magaisa was a very fearless criticizer of anybody. And his criticisms were so constructive, to an extent that you can change your life, you can change the way you are doing things. You can even be ashamed of what you have done and try to find a way of correcting it.
So, yes, thank you. Yes.
With more person like Dr. Magaisa.
Thank you very much. Let's turn to Ubaba Msonga Lomdlovu. So do you think that the government of Zimbabwe can allow a situation where you can have a lecture about Magaisa, lecture about Isaac Mpofu? Do you think that can happen? Or here, gentlemen, we're just wasting our time in terms of talking about, you know, things that will never happen.
Look, government, you know, in this digital era, Professor Msonza will agree with me. Government cannot stop that. We can have one online, you know, and honor these heroes. So I agree with both Dr. Mavaza and Professor Msonza. There must be ways of honoring these departed sons of the Soviet. But I believe that the biggest honor we can give them is to work together as Zimbabweans and find lasting solutions to our problems.
Yes, I think you got cut off there. You can continue from where you left, Professor Mkonza.
Indeed, what Vandlov is saying is would be the greatest honor that we can accord to these departed brothers. Because we know what they wanted. I know for a fact that Dr. Magaisa yearned for a new Zimbabwe that is characterized by, you know, by a different way of governing each other. You know, the best way to honor him I'm going to look at his literature. I had not heard about him. I'm going to try and find his literature. But I think we need to ensure that we get to realize their dreams, what they wished well for their home country, for Zimbabwe. And it's possible that. That we can make what they dreamt of, they were dreaming of, become a reality. And I'm sure that way they will be able to rest in peace.
Yes, so my question was, suppose the University of Zimbabwe wants to have a public lecture on Magaisa, for example, at a theater where you have students of politics gathered, you know, and they listen to whatever somebody is going to say about Magaisa. Won't there be any police around there, you know, to say, what the hell are you doing?
I think judging by the behavior of the current government, that's a possibility. The current government does not inspire confidence that we can have a civil, a political discourse, especially that involves people with views that are divergent to that of theirs. But as you would be aware, Mr. Gibbs, governments come and go. It is the state that remains. So it is possible that future governments will be able to look back and say, a person of Dr. Magaisa's caliber and stature needs to be honored. And indeed, he will be honored. Because what he did, what he represented, is still, you just go on social media, you can see how he was able to occupy, you know, important spaces, and he was able to represent the views of the ordinary people. And I have no doubt that while he is gone physically, I think people will always remember him in their minds. So he, in some way, he has died, but he has not died.
Thank you very much. Sibuyele kubabumsongelo engakaqhumeki lapha sizokuthi besithini. Qhubeka khonapho kubabumsongelo ngakhona kwethu ukusithela khona.
Yeah, bengisatsho ukuthi these heroes, not only them, but many who have departed, deserve to be honored by us pushing the agenda of what they aspired for. And one of the most important things that they aspired for was for us to put our minds together as Zimbabweans and find lasting solutions to our problem as a country. Politics aside, Zimbabwe is full of potential, but we have failed to realize our potential because of bad politics. Earlier, Dr. Mabaza had asked me about possibilities of saboteurs a year before elections, and I was going to say to him, one of the biggest problems we are facing, there could be world problems caused by the wars and stuff, and we acknowledge that. Even South Africa's economy is a bit on the difficult side, but the biggest problem we have in Zimbabwe is that the majority of citizens have lost their confidence in their own government. And if the governed have lost trust in the governing, where the social contract that, by the way, Dr. Makaisa spoke about so passionately, if the social contract is broken, then the issue of the economy, the issue of the currency cannot work. So what is prevailing right now is that the hyperinflation that we are going through is caused mainly by the fact that Zimbabweans do not have confidence in their own money. That is what is driving the hyperinflationary environment in the country. So they can blame it on saboteurs. They can blame it. I mean, Robert Mugabe said that. Patrick Chinamasa said that. And these comrades are saying the same thing today. We need to fix our politics. We need to fix our confidence issues. Let's do it for our departed heroes. Let's do it for our children, and let's do it for their own children. That is the biggest honor we can give people like Alex Makaisa, people like Isaac Mpofu, and people like my own national chairman, Colonel Mark Nzula Mbaiwa. But they are not the only ones. We also have people like Lookout Masuku. We have people like Josiah Tongokara. We have people like Herbert Chitepo, people who died before the vision for which they sacrificed their lives was not realized. We have gone a journey of over 40 years, and today our problems are going and coming back, are going and coming back because we are lacking a vision, we are lacking a leadership that has a strategic plan to take our country forward. The only strategic plan they have is to find the nearest blame for the problems that we face. We need to get out of that and get the best in our citizens, the best talent in our citizens to serve their country. Forget about the politics and make sure that our country does well for our children. That is the honor we need to give Alex Makaisa and those that have gone.
Thank you very much, Mr. Msongelo Ndlovu. I think we've come to the end of our show today. If it was football, we're going to give Dr. Mavaza an extra 30 seconds, but now we're going to give him exactly 1 second. Your last word, Dr. Mavaza.
I just want to say, my comrade Ndlovu is so obsessed with Zimbabwean government. The government is doing the best it is. We cannot just...
Thank you. On that note, Dr. Mavaza, the 1 second is gone. So thank you so much for joining us tonight on Studio 7 Live Talk. I wish to thank our guests, Dr. Sibaba Vazazan PF, Professor Rikim Konza, He is a lecturer in South Africa, and Mr. Msongelwa Ndlovu is APU spokesperson. Signing off from Maryland, this is Kip Stube saying good night, Zimbabwe. Siyabonga. Bye-bye.